This is Sunday morning. What's the date? 21st, July 21st, 2019. The title of this message is God's Troubleshooters. Understanding our mission. These all blend to get, you know, they all blend. The Lord's is kind of the same thought, just kind of different titles. Okay, God's Troubleshooters, understanding our mission. All right. What is a troubleshooter? This is just from Webster's Dictionary. A skilled worker employed to locate trouble and make repairs in machinery and technical equipment. Number two, an expert in resolving diplomatic or political disputes, a mediator of disputes that are at an impasse. Or three, a person skilled at solving or anticipation problems or difficulties. Our best example in God's word of a mediator is the Lord Jesus himself. He looked down and saw, the Lord saw the world full of trouble and they needed a Savior and he sent Jesus. Okay, troubleshooters. Let's look at a few scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our affairs and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. So Jesus is our mediator. What is a mediator? A go-between, an intercessor, or a reconciler. He's our troubleshooter. Okay. Hebrews 2:5. Is that right? 2:5. Well, I don't know why I put that one there, so we're going to skip that one. Anyway, the word mediator out of the Strong's is a go-between, intercessor, reconciler. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:20. You know what? That may be... Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to look at Hebrews 12:5 and see if that's... Okay. All right. 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God's making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. So God has given us grace. If there's anything that's come forth this morning, it's about drawing upon the grace of God. So God sends us into troubled places to reconcile people back to him, to change them for the better. Right there, the word reconcile in the Strong's means to change. To change. This is how Jesus did it in Acts 10:38. He went about doing good, it said, and hating all that will oppress to the devil, for God was with him. Reconcilers make a change. I remember Brother Hagin when he was alive. He would say that the Lord always seemed to send him to troubled churches so that he could straighten them out. You know how he did it? Same way the Lord told me I'm going to do it where I'm headed. He said, you just don't do a thing to change anything or to say anything. You bring the diet I give you and my word will make the change. See, we get to fight with people, yeah, bless God, this kind of stuff. OK, counterproductive. You see that? God has to do the changing. He sends us into things to change things, but it's to speak. When it says speak, pray what He wants us to pray. Give a word when He tells us to give a word. If we're trying to do ourselves, it'll break you. That's what causes people to go to pieces. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:24, I already read it to you, 25. Gently instruct those that oppose themselves so they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That is the way Brother Hagin did it, but he felt like skinning their hides and nailing it to the wall. That's the very statement he said. He did not give in to the emotions, but let the Word of God do the work. Oh, our emotions. They're horrible. If he had given in to his emotions, it would have run everyone off, or he would have left. And there was times he thought about just backing his car up to the parsonage, loading it up, and leaving town. This isn't just about preachers here today. How did Jesus tell us to take care of our problems, have an emotional breakdown? No, he told us to speak to our mountains, Mark 11:22 through 24. Say unto this mountain. This is Satan's game, emotions. You can't trust them. They will betray you every time. Now, I want to show you a scripture that I think's cool. This is Exodus chapter 7. Now in Scripture, the rod represents the Word. All right. Exodus 7, verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove your authority by a miracle, then tell Aaron, throw your rod down before Pharaoh that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw down his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called for the wise men, skilled in magic and divination, the sorcerers, wizards, and jugglers. And they also, these magicians of Egypt, did similar things with their enchantments and secret arts. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So the word of God swallowed up whatever the snake in the grass did. I mean, when I thought about that, when the Lord said that, I said, you're right, Lord. When we use your word, it'll swallow up whatever the enemy's doing. It was a demonstration of power that God's word trumps yours. God's word trumps your situation or your circumstance. When the Red Sea opened, you know, Moses, the people were crying to Moses, crying, do something. Moses asked the Lord, oh, Lord, help. And the Lord said, stick forth the rod and go forward. And he did, and the sea parted. And guess what? They went through on dry land. And then the Egyptians followed in after. And then what happened? The waves covered the Egyptians, and they were all dead on the seashore. They were no more. Good way to get rid of your problems. When God sends you into a troubled situation, remember this. 2019 is a year of witty inventions and naughty problems solved. What good is it to work where everything is already solved? Isn't it the sick that need the physician? This is God's work. This is His mission. There are many troubleshooters in God's Word, but the one that stood out to me for this teaching is Daniel and his friends. What stands out about Daniel and his friends is it says in Scripture that especially Daniel had an excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 1. I think probably Daniel's one of the most favorites in the Bible. He used lions as pillows. Just a minute, I had it and I lost it. There you are. I gotta find it just a minute. These little tabs again. Okay, Daniel chapter 1. All right, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with a part of the vessels of the house of God, and he carried them into the land of Shinar, Babylonia, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. And the Babylonian king told Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring in some of the children of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility. So Daniel was of the nobility. Youths without blemish, well-favored in appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, discernment, and understanding, apt in learning, knowledge, competent to stand and serve in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Did you know that most of the Nobel Prizes and different things that come out of the world come out of Israel? You see why here? God blesses Israel. And the king assigned for them a daily portion of his own rich and dainty food and the wine which he drank. They were to be so educated and so nourished for 3 years that at the end of that time they might stand before the king. Among them were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel, he gave Belshazzar, the king's attendant. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. But Daniel determined in his heart that he would not defile himself by eating his portion of the king's rich and dainty food or by drinking the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might be allowed not to defile himself. Now God made Daniel to find favor, compassion, and loving kindness with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear lest my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, should see your faces worse looking or more sad than the other youths of your age, then you would endanger my head with the king. Then said Daniel to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove your servants, I beseech thee, for 10 days. Let us be given a vegetable diet and water to drink. Let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat of the king's rich dainties be observed and compared by you, and deal with us, your servants, according to what you see. So the man consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were looking better, had taken on more flesh than all the youths who ate of the king's rich dainties. So the steward took away their rich dainties and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding and all kinds of visions and dreams. Now at the end of the time which the king had set up for bringing out all the old men and the chief of the eunuchs, brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king conversed with them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they were assigned to stand before the king. In all matters of wisdom and understanding concerning which the king asked them, he found them 10 times better than all the learned magicians and enchanters who were in his whole realm. And Daniel continued there even to the first year of King Cyrus, at the close of the 70 years of exile of Judah and Babylon, which Jeremiah had foretold. So, what was it? Just think about these kids, how confident they were. They didn't stand before the king shaking and trembling. They stood with their principles. They were people of character. They didn't back down on what God's word says. They didn't back down on what they knew they were supposed to do. And because of it, even the wicked saw the difference. And it's respected them, admired them. So much so, Daniel, when he interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, he's put in a high place through 3 kings, the 3 Hebrew children, instead of bowing to the statue. What happened? They stood their ground. They went into the fire. Nothing. The Lord showed up, and there was not even smoke on their clothes. See, we're to be people of character, troubleshooters. They didn't bow to the circumstances. They didn't bow to whatever the leader wanted them to do. They said, no, we'd rather die. We'd rather go in the fire than to bow to you. We're people of principle. Okay. What is the outstanding characteristics here? An excellent spirit. As troubleshooters, unless called upon to impart solutions from God to people, I believe our mission is mainly covert. Changes behind the scenes that no one suspects. This is changing rules, regulations, and laws when necessary to fit into God's plan. We are to fight the good fight of faith, not people. People of good character. There are many giants where we have been sent, but we will be well able. Okay, let's go to Psalm 78. We be able to go in, take the land. The children of Israel, who are the ones that stood out? The one says, we are well able to go and take the land. It's not enough to say we are ready. We have to act like we're ready. This is Psalm 78, verse 9. The children of Ephraim were armed and carrying bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk according to his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the land of Zoan. He divided the Red Sea and caused them to pass through it, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a pillar of cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as out of the deep. He brought streams also out of the rock at Rephidim and Kadesh and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still went on to sin against him by provoking and rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness in the land of drought. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking for food according to their selfish desire and appetite. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God furnish the food for a table in the wilderness? Behold, he did smite the rocks so that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath and fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger mounted up against Israel. Because in God they believed not. They relied not on him. They adhered not to him. And they trusted not in his salvation, his power to save. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down upon them manna to eat and gave them heaven's grain. Everyone ate the bread of the mighty. God sent them meat in abundance. He let forth the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he guided the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them like dust and winged birds like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp and round their tents. So they ate and were well filled. He gave them what they craved and lusted after. But scarce had they stilled their craving, and while their meat was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the strongest and sturdiest of them and smote down Israel's chosen youth. In spite of all this, they sinned still more. For they believed not in, relied not on, and adhered not to him for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed like the breath, and their years in terror and sudden haste. When he slew them, he inquired after him diligently, and they repented and sincerely sought God for a time. And they earnestly remembered that God was their rock and the Most High their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues. Now listen to that. Oh, I love you, Lord. Use me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Then when a circumstance comes, they lie to him with their tongues. For their hearts were not right or sincere with him, neither were they faithful and steadfast in his covenant. But he, full of compassion, forgave their iniquities, destroyed them not. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath and indignation. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that does not pass away, that does pass away. So I'm thankful today that we don't have to incur God's wrath. He took all his wrath out on Jesus. God's merciful to us today. But we don't want to be like them, say one thing and do another. God's for us. Who can be against us? Thank you, Lord. Wait a minute. Okay. All right.